This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Field Notes. Field Notes brand USA-made memo books and other products, including seasonal limited editions. Visit fieldnotesbrand.com or 400 North May Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for getting us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts, all based right here in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Go to chicagopodcastcoop.com for more info.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, this is a great episode!
Well, I'll give you this. It was better than the last one you made me watch.
The last two.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Top of the heap.
We're climbing. We are improving.
It's still not the best episode we've ever seen.
No.
But it was a strong showing.
Right. Yeah. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Well, Serena is here with us to help us talk about it. Hey, Serena.
Hi. Hey. Hello.
Welcome to Pat Trek.
I'm so excited.
Before we started recording, we were talking about how much Star Trek you've seen in your life, and it's really not that much.
I've seen what I've absorbed from just people who like it around me and my roommate who edits the improvised Star Trek podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I only know fictional, not real Star Trek.
Okay.
It's all fictional.
Yeah, it's all. None of this is real.
So I've been told. Yeah.
Apparently, none of this is real.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a Star Trek fan are you now?
I just love Data. I'm obsessed with him. He's my
Data's
favorite.
Data's great.
Everybody else, I'm just real neutral. But I like the fish people.
Oh, you did?
But then... Yes.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Yet. Yeah. I doubt that they come back. Am I right in this path?
Not that I recall.
Oh,
no.
Bummer. Mm-hmm. I like the fish people too.
Well, speaking of the fish people, that does bring me to my fun fact.
Oh, really?
Week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know how every once in a while there's cameos? And like cameos you can't even tell who's who and what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what a cameo is.
You know what a cameo is?
I do.
Do I need to define it further?
Right.
Mick Fleetwood is one of those fish people.
The Mick Fleetwood?
From Fleetwood Mac.
I'm glad you specified that because I wasn't sure if that was the same.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how... Antedians? How do you say
Antedians,
it?
Antedians,
yeah. Antedians, yeah.
Yeah, and for y'all, in case you didn't see the episode, he was in a full suit costume. Could not see his face. There was no way you would possibly know that was Mick Fleetwood, even if you were the sort of person who would... You know, be able to see a person and say, that's Mick Fleetwood.
I could tell by his eyes.
You could tell by his eyes.
Yeah, it was him.
Those big fish eyes.
So before we get into Patrick's log, I promised a fan that we would bring up something that I had to say about the last episode we watched, Up the Long Ladder.
Yes.
Right?
Up the rough, horrible long ladder.
Yeah. Sophia Skull Mutant on Twitter says that apart from the sexism and racism, this episode had a huge heteronormative issue. Flimsy backstory aside, a group of asexuals are needlessly told that they need to have sex to survive. They have cloning, goddammit. They surely have figured out that you don't need to have sex to get pregnant, and that marriage is not the only way to parent a child, which that's a good point. And the three husbands thing is effed up. Why put a limit at all? Why not encourage donors? Shit, just remodel the cloning facilities to evolve children instead of clones. So dumb and normative. So this was a good point, and Serena, if you hadn't seen... The show, we were trying to explain this to you earlier, is like two societies had completely different like ways of reproducing, and they did it in a way that was like the most invasive way possible.
Yes.
Oh.
They basically ruined both cultures.
Yes. So these people that, like, sex was repulsive to them in their society because they had evolved to clone, and yeah, they had cloning machines, they were forced to engage in sexual reproduction. And the other group was like, well...
A bunch of drunk Irishmen.
Right, yeah. Oh, no. Which is a whole other issue. A whole other issue. And they're like, well, every woman here now has to have three husbands. What was her name? Brenna?
Yes.
And they talked to her at the end, and she's like, why didn't you consult the women?
Yeah.
Which was the thing that we noticed.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah, but what we didn't notice is like, oh yeah, why did they do any of this?
They didn't need to.
They didn't need to do any of it.
No. And it's a group of scientists who really didn't want to do any science.
Yeah.
All they wanted to do, they figured out cloning.
Yep.
And they were like, we're done.
Yep.
We're
that's
done
it.
Here.
Wash my hands. Maybe,
like every other like one-off episode like this, you can tell things are going to go haywire as soon as the Enterprise leaves. So that was a good point, Sophia. Thank you for bringing that up. One brief thing that I found in the news today. This came out June 19th, 1989. In Sweden, Olof Palme's widow points out the killer in court and says, I'm certain. That's a headline. So the prime minister of Sweden was this guy, Olof Palme. He was a very popular social democratic prime minister. He was assassinated in 1982, and it was a big news story. In 1989, they finally got the guy, and like there was like grainy evidence of who it was, and Olof Palme's widow pointed the guy out. And it was some guy, I think he was like a drug addict or something. He wasn't like right in his head. It wasn't like a political assassination.
Oh.
But it was like a huge story in Europe at the time because he was a really popular prime minister.
So wait, so it took 7 years?
Yeah, it was like years until they finally. And so like today is the day where like it was a very dramatic moment apparently where like she stood up in court and was like, that's him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the only thing I could find, so...
Well, nothing is more newsworthy than this episode.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
This episode.
The Manhunt.
Yeah. Do we want to get into it?
Sure.
Let's do it.
What was it? Mick Fleetwood?
Mick Fleetwood.
Mick Fleetwood. He's got a...
Fleetwood Mac.
It's very important.
He's on a mission to serve as a dignitary. Well, he's playing an Antidean, which is a fish alien type thing.
Yeah, it's basically humans with fish heads.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think they only had three fingers.
The opposite of a mermaid.
Yes.
Reverse mermaid.
Yeah. That's right. They're basically reverse mermaids. So these Antidean guys, they've got to go to a conference on some planet called Pacifica. And the Enterprise is ordered to go there and, you know, it's going to transport dignitaries. It's kind of like a routine thing, right? So... these guys show up on the transport room. They're asleep. They're like in a catatonic state Dr. Pulaski says. Because
That's
how they travel.
Self-induced catatonic state.
I wish I could do that.
Me too. I wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah, you're taking notes the whole time.
I was.
Yeah, they're really smart. They knock themselves out before they just take some Xanax and go warp speed. So
did the Xanax last too long?
I don't know. Apparently, no, this is like part of their, they've evolved, I guess, to do this. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, like they just did it themselves.
Yeah, they hibernate.
They still overslept.
Well, they're supposed to wake up by the time they reach the planet. So, yeah, the Enterprise is taking them there. There's like this scene where everyone's just kind of...
This scene's hysterical.
It's
so
goofy
good.
As hell. Because I think it looks to me like they made this and then... they made the masks and stuff and were like, wow, this looks bad. We got to explain this.
Mm-hmm. I think so. This episode had a really humorous tilt to it. It was a very comedy-driven episode.
It was kind of madcap. Yeah.
Yeah, it totally was.
Yeah.
Which I think they just start right from the beginning. Even when they teleport those things over, they give us a hard look at them for a good 3 to 5 seconds.
They're really bad.
Yeah, yeah, it's
horrible, really cheap.
And it's funny. And then everybody's silent, staring back at them.
Well, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. It's like, you know, Pulaski's like saying all this stuff. There's like this bucket of shrimp that they eat from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like just really gross. And it's a gross out moment, which like you normally don't see in Star Trek.
No, this was a comedy episode.
Yeah, and it ends with Worf saying, what a handsome race. Just out of nowhere. Nowhere.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Great Worf line.
Michael Dorn
killing it.
Yeah.
He kills it all episode.
I had an actual lull at that part right there.
Several of them.
Yeah. So it was pretty solid start, I think. It was Star Trek trying to be funny and actually being funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always work to me.
No, it's rare.
But
it's like, what was that episode with the big hairy things where the costumes look terrible?
I don't know. You're going to have to be more specific here, Pat.
One where Wesley Crusher falls in love with that girl.
Was she a hairy thing?
And then she turns into this hairy thing.
Yeah, she's
thing.
A shapeshifter.
She's a shapeshifter who could only turn into a big hairy thing. So we're not quite sure the like, range of her shapeshifting powers.
Like Cousin It hairy thing? Or like
it was
Chewbacca?
Like a spider ape sort of deal.
It was like if Chewbacca's costume cost about one third as much as it cost in Star Wars.
In the discount
yeah,
like
they got
section.
It at Walmart. Yeah.
Got it, cool.
It was kind
of
like...
But they were ashamed of the costume in that one, and they kept cutting away from it and made the costume almost appear worse.
Yeah.
Where this one, they just embraced the fact that Fleetwood Mac was hanging there out in a fish.
What do you think went through Mr. Fleetwood Mac's head when they showed him the costume?
So excited. Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm in.
I get to do this. Yeah. Think about how many celebrities want to be on Star Trek.
There's a lot of like celebrity Star Trek fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg.
What?
Yeah, she's in it.
Oh, she's in it.
She's in an episode?
She's in several episodes. She's a recurring character.
Yeah, she's great.
She's the bartender on the ship.
She's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we should have brought you for one of those where she's heavily featured.
But... Oh, Alexiana Troy was great this time.
Let me get to that.
Okay.
So in addition to carrying these people, Starfleet orders the Enterprise to pick up Alexiana Troy, who is Deanna Troy's mother. And
Deanna Troy is not having
She is not, no.
Nope.
And... not only are they supposed to pick her up, Loxana Troy has full diplomatic courtesies because she's supposed to be representing the planet Beta Zed at whatever conference the Antedians are going to the planet Pacifica.
Which, again, comedy?
Yeah,
I guess. You got fish people going to planet Pacifica?
Yeah.
Great comedy.
Great comedy. Quality
I mean, that's
comedy.
Medium comedy, I guess.
It's a little more than medium.
It got a little chuckle. I'll give it that. So yeah, Deanna does not like this at all. They're on the like the comm screen sort of thing in the bridge, and Deanna's there, Loxana is listing all their titles and stuff, and then she mentions that Picard is having naughty thoughts.
Which I don't think he was.
I don't think he was.
No.
She's like projecting all over him.
Yeah.
All episode.
They explain why. And at first I was like really confused by that because that seems out of character for Picard.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like hit on him before in the last one.
Yeah. She was definitely been sexually interested in Picard before. Yeah.
And he has never reciprocated. So.
And this won't be the last time.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Luxiana Troy is a confident woman.
Yeah.
Who sees what she wants and she's going to take it.
Yeah. That's certainly the arc of this episode. Manhunt. Oh, I just realized why it's called Manhunt.
I thought it was about these fish people.
Thought it was about these fish people. Honestly, yeah, when I saw like they're gonna try to eat someone on the ship.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Right. Nope.
They should have called it Fleetwood Mac Hunt. Which character, really? Which fish guy is Fleetwood Mac?
We'll never know. Did it specify the fun fact?
No, no, it just said he's one of them.
Well, we're going to be guessing forever.
Yeah.
I put in some puns with Fleetwood Mac songs here, but I don't know any, so I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Nope.
White Winged Dove.
Yeah. Gypsy Wives.
Landslide.
Landslide, that's it. That's pretty much it.
I think that Gypsy song's a Cher song that I don't remember.
Champs and Thieves?
Yeah,
that's Cher. I'm sorry. Totally different.
Uptown Girl?
No, that's Billy Joel, dude. Loxana arrives on the ship, and she's got that manservant guy, Mr. Home.
Yeah, love this guy.
Yeah, yeah, so we, Serena, you mentioned that he looks like Lurch.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up, he is Lurch, but not Lurch from the original Addams Family from the movies. So, same actor.
Yeah.
From the first movie? Or from...
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, from... the one in the 90s. I think both. Both of those movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's the only role he can get? Is big quiet guy?
Big quiet guy who moves slow. Oh.
He's great at it, though.
Yeah.
There's actually...
He makes money. He's getting paid.
Yeah. There's a great moment of physical comedy here where...
Oh, I love this moment.
Yeah. So Loxana comes out, and, you know, she compliments Picard's legs, and he's really weird about it. And Home hands this huge, heavy brass case to Riker. And even though, you know, he's the footman, he's supposed to carry it, Riker's like, oh, I can't lift this thing. You know, they're dragging it down the hallway for this entire scene. And then finally, Home just picks it up just for a second very easily and moves it like 2 inches.
Yeah. Great joke. Another great joke.
So yeah.
And it was in the background, too, yep. which was fantastic.
Yep.
That's a callback to the first time we met Lexana Troi. Because Picard tried to carry that case and was tripping all over it.
Oh, that's why he was like, no.
No, I'm not going to touch that.
No.
He learned. But Riker fell for it.
Yep.
With all of his bravado.
Yeah. Mm. It's a thing he would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It fits for his character. So while that's going on, Lexana invites Picard to this dinner. And she calls it like a dinner of welcome or something. Like she makes it sound like it's a traditional Betazoid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that everyone's going to go to it.
Trap is set.
Yep. The trap for the manhunt.
The manhunt trap. Oh, no.
Of course, you know, he says, yeah, all right. That's a normal thing to do. That doesn't seem weird at all. I'll go to the dinner with you. It turns out, you know, when he goes back onto the bridge and he's talking to people on the ship and they're joking about Lexana Troi because, you know, they've run into her before and they think it's funny that she has like diplomatic immunity now.
Yeah, because of the way she behaves.
Yes.
Yes.
Because she's very poorly behaved.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well,
she's a little reckless.
She's a confident.
I know. Well, I mean, she says
sexually aware woman.
That is,
what's your problem with that, Patrick?
Because she's a diplomat and one of her character traits is she lacks tact.
She doesn't need it. She can read your mind.
But she's a diplomat.
But a Betazoid wouldn't need tact. They already know exactly what each other are thinking.
If they're talking to another alien race, wouldn't they?
No. She proves why she doesn't. Riker almost married her.
That's true. She can't trick people into almost marrying them.
Just like fool them. That's not great, though.
Well,
I mean,
that's not diplomacy?
I don't know.
Well, this is the conversation they're having on the bridge. And then finally, Picard's like, hey, guys, chill out. You know, she's a diplomat. I expect to see you all in dress uniform at the dinner. And everyone's like, I did not get that invitation. This doesn't really register with Picard, so he's like walking to a room with this bottle of wine or mouthwash or something.
Blue liquid.
Yeah. Toilet cleaner. It's not really clear what's in it.
I love that it is still a custom to bring a drink when there's replicators
exactly.
that just make a drink for it. Like,
right.
Nobody wants for anything in Star Trek.
He's just classy. He's a
classy
man. Yeah, but
he brought a gift. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's bringing that, and he runs into Pulaski. He's like, hey, you're not going to the dinners? He's like, I already ate. I don't know what you're talking about. He finally realizes what's going on, what all of us have known ever since he was invited to this thing. He shows up, home drinks the entire bottle of mouthwash.
Again, another callback.
Yeah, he loves getting drunk.
It's his favorite.
Yeah, and it probably takes a lot. He's huge. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He sits down, and Lexana toasts to human males. Just in general, just the concept of dudes. One of the things that is different about her, though, is her irises are much larger, and Picard kind of realizes this.
She's on the hunt.
Yeah, like literally.
Oh, I didn't realize that her irises didn't look like that normally.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, you may have noticed her eyes look really big in this
episode.
They're
really, like, dark.
Right.
Yeah.
She had probably, like, some kind of contact things
in. Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
So there is something physically different with her that Picard notices. He's also starting to realize that no one else has been invited to this thing. So he's trying to, like, talk shop to distract her because she's coming on to him pretty strong.
So very strong.
Yeah, like she's doing a leg thing under the table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. Yeah, so he starts talking about the Betazoid chime, which is this little gong thing that Home hits, and you didn't see this in the last episode from like a year ago. There was a whole scene, wasn't there, Pat, where they were eating a banquet?
Yes. So it's how they give thanks for the meal is every time they eat, their handler rings this chime. So every time they put food into their mouth, that gong is rung.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It's very funny when there's a bunch of them in a room together
eating.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, so like in the scene from the last time Lexana showed up, it was Home was like banging this gong while this argument was going on for like 2 minutes. It ended up being a little much, but they dialed it back this time, I think. So what he does is he does the classic move of calling a friend.
Yeah. Buddy system.
Buddy
right.
System.
Yeah, Serena, you pointed this out. He calls a friend, and he calls the most boring friend he has, which is Data.
Oh.
Well, I don't want to say boring, but
I love him.
The worst, if you want to suck the sexuality out of a room.
Yes, I agree. Data,
He's like an anti-wingman.
Yeah, exactly. The anti-wingman.
So he calls Data. He's like, hey, Data, what do you know about chimes, buddy? It's like, oh, an excellent question, sir. Yeah, I know about these rocks that people hit. And he just goes off about rocks for a long time. And finally, Picard's like, hey, why don't you come in here to this dinner and tell me about those rocks, dude. I would love to hear about that.
Sounds fascinating. And then the look of pure happiness. I mean, this is as happy as Data can get.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, thrilled. Yeah, I'm on my way.
Yeah, he was thrilled. It like warmed my heart.
Yeah. I really like Data. This is a good Data scene. And Picard's just egging him on. And he's normally the guy telling him to shut up.
Yes.
But now he's like, dude, just keep telling me about chimes. Yeah. Loxana is very upset.
She's so mad.
Yeah. She is constantly bored. She can't seduce Picard. And, you know,
you can't seduce anyone with Data in the
room.
Mm. Yeah.
Even though he's fully functional, as he has said.
As he has said. You could hook up with Data, but you wouldn't
want to.
But would
you want to?
Does he bring that up a lot?
It happens in episode 2, Naked Now. Yeah. A good episode.
No, it's not. It's bad.
He hooks up with Tasha Yar, who has since died, unfortunately. Oh. A very horrible, sad death.
Yeah. In a really terrible episode.
Horrible waste of that
all
character.
On the same episode?
No.
That would be awful.
So
that
got
real dark.
That would be traumatic for Data.
Yeah, I know.
It is traumatic for Data.
It is.
He still loves Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple of references to that.
Yeah, but he also loves
a picture of her on his desk.
Talking about gongs and stars, which is what he's going off on. And so back in the hallway, Counselor Troi, not Loxana Troi, but Deanna, is talking to Dr. Pulaski, and she reveals a little piece of information that explains what's going on. So Loxana is in her midlife, and Pulaski's like, oh, so like menopause? And Deanna says, not exactly. It's different for Betazoid women. That's when they like reach their sexual peak or whatever. And there is some kind of ritual that is attached to this physiology where they kind of center in on a dude.
Yep.
And they go after him until it either ends in marriage or they find someone else to center in on.
So, Star Trek buddies listening, Tananda or Brian, one of you guys, hit me up. Don't they do this exact same plot again in Deep Space Nine? She goes through the change a second time all over again.
Oh, does she show up in Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, she's all over Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's great in it. She goes through the change again. What's the deal?
I don't know. Maybe they do it twice.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
No, she didn't end up married this time, dude.
Spoiler alert. True.
I don't know. Maybe it's a different change, but it's a similar thing where she's like looking for a mate. Like, it's a very similar episode.
Oh.
Her impact on the rest of Deep Space Nine is quite a bit different than it is in this episode. But I feel like they've recycled this plot 10 years later.
I believe you. That sounds like a thing that they would do.
So Brian or Tananda, if you guys are listening, am I right? I think I'm right.
I believe you.
We'll explore it in like 6 years from now when we get to that episode.
But this is a really weird conversation between Pulaski and Deanna because like they're way too involved in Picard's sex life. Like they're like, yeah, it'll be a good, it'll be a way for him to stay on his feet.
Oh, yeah. She did say that. And she like smirked and I was like, no.
Right.
It's uncomfortable.
I was uncomfortable watching it.
It is like, weird, though, because they are pretty open about their sexual escapades.
Yeah.
It's not a thing anybody hides. So they all would know that Picard never gets down.
I guess that's probably a future thing. It's weird to me because like in a professional setting, I'd just be like, no, I'm never going to talk about that.
But see, I think we've evolved beyond it being a taboo subject.
Oh,
just
okay.
Like when Deanna says humans don't do that anymore, she's talking about like the jealousy and ownership type idea of being together.
Oh.
That's why Deanna and Riker still have this kind of will-they-won't-they relationship. Yet we know Riker is hooking up with other women. We see that happening. We don't know about Deanna's exploits.
Yeah,
we don't know what she's doing. We never explore that, at least not yet.
She's always off screen and like anytime they need her.
Yes.
Aww.
She does not get enough screen time.
Yeah.
And her job is very confusing to me because they could have used her help many times and she's just not around.
What's her job?
She's a ship counselor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very important.
She can read
so
minds.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Like, yeah. She's half Betazoid, which I think, Pat, does this mean she's less powerful?
Yeah. So she can't. So her mother can read thoughts like exactly, where Deanna can sense emotion and intention and can get a vibe of what you're thinking, but not necessarily know your exact thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, the way it works is sometimes like it's kind of like iffy how it works exactly, but she can find motives behind people, which is like really important.
Mm-hmm. She'll often say, don't trust them. They're hiding something.
She will say the thing that
ominous.
Will...
Exactly. But that's all she knows.
Yeah.
Whereas Luxiana would be like, as we find out later in the episode, just expose the whole plot.
Yeah, so in like Dungeon Rat's terms, it's like she's the person that can detect a trap.
Yes.
Like, so that the entire party doesn't walk into it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty important. So she tells all this information to Pulaski, and then later in Picard's ready room, Deanna tells Picard what's going on. And
he's flabbergasted.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really funny is that Deanna says, well, yeah, I talked to Mom, and she says that you had dirty thoughts about her. And he's like, oh, that's impossible.
I don't know if Picard has dirty thoughts.
Well, so this is where I think Deanna clears it up. Is she says that normally she's really good at detecting thoughts, but when she's in this state, you know, she could say anything.
She thinks everybody's into her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty evident.
Yeah. So yeah, she's like a teenager, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In that respect, is kind of what they made it sound like.
See, but when I was a teenager, I felt like nobody liked me.
Me too. Yeah. High five.
Well,
she's
I mean,
a reverse teenager.
She's just an extremely confident teenager.
Yeah.
I guess she has like the backing of years of experience and accomplishments, and also having her hormones take over her brain or whatever is supposed to happen with this particular alien species.
I would imagine Betazoids are very good at hooking up.
Yeah.
Like, I would if you could
at finding mates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you could find a mate, lock that down pretty quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
they had
so that swagger's earned.
Yeah.
And if her radar is a little off that day, then, you know, of course she's confused.
Yeah. But they find out that the best way to deal with this is to just hide Picard for a little while.
Just, yeah, go away, Picard.
Yeah, dude.
For like a while.
Well, and he can't just like lock himself in the ready room or anything like that. So he's going to take a little vacation. He's going to go to the holodeck.
Booyah!
And puts on his little fedora.
Dixon Hill is back!
Yeah, so Sarita, he has been this guy before, Dixon Hill. I think we mentioned that while we were watching it. It's a noir, fake noir character that he likes to play and solve mysteries as.
I think this was another episode I really loved that you had lukewarm feelings about.
Yeah.
The first time we saw Dixon Hill. Yes?
Yeah, it's just the ending was weird of that one.
Yes.
But this one, it was a little more contained. So he goes to like 1940s world, and there's a little quip with his secretary, Madeline, when she says, oh, you act like you haven't seen me in a year. And it has been a year since it last...
Saw Dixon Hill last.
Yeah, so
I just love that he has just this happy place he goes to and solves crime. Like he's an adult hardy boy, and I love it.
Yeah, like that's what we were talking about when we were watching it, is that he has all these hobbies. You know, it's like he loves pulp novels from the 40s. He loves archaeology. Fencing, horseback riding, and it's all this stuff like
that, Shakespeare.
Oh, it's all the stuff in the future that would seem really old timey,
like way old timey. Because even horseback riding would have been, I don't know, 700 years earlier.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't need horses. Yeah. And
they don't treat animals that way at all. Like animals aren't captive anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
That's why they don't eat meat.
That's right.
They don't eat meat.
No.
Wow.
Everything comes from the replicator. So they don't, like, all life is precious. Again, this is an evolved man.
So that's why it's only in the holodeck that he rides horses.
I guess.
I don't even think
Maybe
about
he's,
that.
He's, like, taking out some, like, abusive behavior on these horses.
Yeah, geez.
That his culture would think is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Can they not own dogs?
You know, that's a good point. Because later, Data gets a cat.
Yeah.
Like an actual cat to be on the ship?
And there's dogs, there's puppies.
It's like a ship cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do have puppies.
They have puppies.
So not like commercialized meat.
Right.
Or
yeah,
like,
they're not eating them.
Yeah. No, okay. No, they're not eating the
they're
puppies.
They're not eating, yeah, thank God. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to live in a future where you can't have dogs.
No way.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
It's so sad.
So yeah, he goes and he hangs out in his office for a little bit. And there's this like series of violent... visitors that he gets, and he keeps
Another
having to pause
bit.
The program and like, computer, this isn't what I wanted. And it turns out the computer can only run programs based on actual Dixon Hill novels. So he's got a Dodge, like, Tommy Gun guy and then Scarface dude that tries to beat him up. And he's like, no, you know what? Just run this other program where I'll go to Rex's bar. That's apparently some other book.
So I want to talk about him getting Madeline.
Okay.
Yeah, that was confusing.
We all know what the holodeck gets used for.
Yes.
Was this hit? Were they hinting at the fact he's picking up a female companion?
I don't know.
He was really like smooth though, like how he sat on the edge of the desk and was like, "Hey."
Yeah. And she kind of blushed and was like, "You've never asked me that before." And he's like, "Why not? Is it a problem?"
His demeanor was so different.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because they just go to the bar and have a couple drinks together.
Yeah, but while he's there, now that you mention that, like, he goes to Rex's bar, and Rex, the owner, is just like, he pours him a drink, and he's got to get used to, like, having money and lighting a cigarette and doing all this stuff that he isn't used to doing in the future. But you can see he's, like, exploring putting on a different character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he thought of himself on a date because he normally isn't on one.
Oh,
right.
Interesting, yeah.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Because he never dates or never talks to women, he was, like, practicing in a way.
Yeah. So, shit, maybe he was having dirty thoughts about Luxana Troy. I didn't even think about that. He just didn't want all of the baggage that came with, you know, if he followed through.
And he had to work through some of his own issues, like fear of women.
Right.
And he's doing that in the holodeck.
Huh.
That's why he didn't want violence.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
He was working through some stuff.
Working through it.
Oh.
Oh, Picard.
Yeah, I guess the holodeck is useful, then. Normally, anytime, we always make fun of people using the holodeck because it always almost kills someone.
It breaks a lot.
Yeah, it like breaks in the worst ways possible. It's like, oh, it's going to vaporize everyone inside. It's like, well, why never go in there, then?
Danger.
Yeah.
So many times, the safety protocols just turn off.
Yeah.
Just, like, oh my gosh, now the guns actually kill people.
Yeah.
No.
But it's happened numerous times.
Yeah. But in this case, it's just, no, it's being used, like, as you said when we were watching it, Pat, it's being used for shore leave.
Yeah.
And it's for Picard to work out whatever issues that he has with relationships in a safe setting.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with y'all's theory. I think that's what he's doing here.
Hmm.
So they're talking to Rex about, like, some book plot that I didn't really catch was going. It's some gangster thing that...
A gangster was going to come and shoot up Rex.
Yeah. It's not important. I mean, it just isn't. I don't understand what the plot is in that thing. So, meanwhile, Luxana is going to adopt an alternate plan. She can't get Picard. No one is telling her where he is for his own safety. And she's got to find somebody else. So, who else? Looking around the bridge. There's Worf. Not really your type. There's Crusher. A little too young. Oh, but there's William Riker.
No, Mom!
Yeah,
no!
So she's looking at during this whole time when she's like trying to find another candidate here, she's got this, like, this is the part I didn't really like, and I understand there's not really a way to get around telepathic speech, but she's talking to Deanna, and she's like, no, not him. What are you doing? Don't do this. But she totally ignores all of Deanna's pleas to say, you know, don't date my ex-boyfriend, Mom.
So this goes back to my Riker theory of often people consider Riker a creep,
a bit
of a womanizer. The women throw themselves at him.
Yeah,
he had nothing to do with this at all.
Another lady
is like, hey, you're my guy.
Riker is often a creep, though.
Last episode, man should have been court-martialed.
Yes.
Agree with you completely.
Yeah.
But often enough, in this particular case,
he had nothing to do with this.
He's just hanging out doing his job.
She announces marriage.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, Picard got this, like, elaborate seduction.
Yeah, right. Poor Riker.
Just like, we're married now.
She didn't even take him out to dinner first.
I know.
Yeah, there's no dinner.
There's nothing.
Come on, Luxana Troy. At least show Riker what he's going to get.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. It almost feels like Luxana doesn't even believe this either. So the only thing that interrupts this is that Pulaski beeps the bridge and says that, well, the entity...
Fleetwood Mac's awake.
Fleetwood Mac is awake.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac has awoken from his slumber. So Riker takes this as an opportunity to get the hell out. And him and Data, they're like, yeah, we gotta go to the go not to the holodeck, somewhere else, somewhere totally different, where Picard isn't. And
we're just gonna communicate a message.
Yeah,
to him. We won't see him.
Yeah. Won't see him. Nope, I don't know where he is. Walking this way.
Right. So they run to the holodeck and let Picard know about what's going on, and both that yes, the Antedeans are awake, and also, I'm apparently getting married to Luxana Troi.
Can we back up 1 minute?
Yeah.
Data, before he goes in there.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I need 5 minutes to get ready.
I forgot about that.
He was so excited.
And then he showed up in full costume.
Data loves a holodeck.
He does. He's the one who's done the
Sherlock Holmes mystery.
I almost said Dick Tracy. Nope.
Yeah, so this is... Yeah, so... It's an interesting like parallel between like Picard loves the 40s mysteries and Data is a big Sherlock Holmes nerd.
Yeah.
Also they're best friends.
And they are good friends and they're like huge nerds about mysteries together and they both love the holodeck, which is such a funny it's a funny thing to me.
You know what I just realized?
What?
There's no Geordi LaForge in this episode.
Oh wow, you're right.
Who's that?
He's LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton.
Yeah. From Reading Rainbow.
From Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
He's a prominent figure in the show.
Yeah.
Usually him and Data are a wacky pair.
Yeah.
Aw.
And he's nowhere to be found.
He would have been really good in this episode, I think.
Yeah.
What if the actor is like busy or...
I think a lot of times it happens where they just have other... I think he was in Reading Rainbow at this time, so he was probably filming that.
Well, that's why I think Deanna Troi disappears for several days, too. I'm sure it's a contract thing.
Right.
And they also do so many episodes. There's like 26 or so episodes a season. So, you know.
Yeah, so...
They're not contracted.
Normally...
I would assume.
So much.
Yeah, normally they're like a buddy cop sort of thing. But in this case, it is Riker, who is wearing a Starfleet uniform... like a regular bro, and Data, who was just nerding out, wearing trench coat, hat, still colored like silver.
You know, Riker never dresses up for the holodeck.
No.
He always just wears his uniform.
Not unless he's like fighting
into the cosplay of it.
Yeah.
But not Riker, even when he's in the sad desert. He's not in shorts or anything.
He's just comfortable with who he is. He doesn't feel like he needs to change.
He loves Starfleet so much.
Yeah.
He doesn't even change.
So... they run into Picard. They show up at Rex's bar, and he you know, Rex invites them to sit down. Meanwhile, Luxana is wandering around the Enterprise and is able to use the computer to find out where the holodeck is and where the captain is. So she shows up.
I think there's a continuity error here, by the way.
How's that?
So Luxana Troi, when she shows up to the ship, she's in a different spaceship far away.
Yeah.
She's approaching. Deanna Troi stands up and goes, oh no, Mother's coming. So she can detect the presence of somebody.
She can't detect her when she's going to the holodeck to warn Picard.
No, but what I'm saying is Luxana Troi should have been able... She didn't need the computer to tell her where anybody was.
Oh.
Because she could read their minds.
Yeah.
She should have been able to find Picard
at any point.
As soon as she wanted to find him.
There's no hiding from her.
No. Because she'd just be reading everybody's mind and be like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to chalk this up to her
mid-cycle.
Being in her mid-cycle life thing.
Don't laugh when I say mid-cycle, Patrick.
I'm sorry. That was funny.
I think the way they're getting out of a lot of this stuff is like, yeah, you know, she just, she's in midlife. So this is just what happens. Didn't what's his name in the original series? The Vulcan.
Oh yeah, Spock. When Spock goes into heat and
goes crazy.
Like a cat.
Oh yeah, so it's the only time Vulcans don't use logic first is when it's time to get down.
Oh dang!
And he goes crazy. He's like highly irritable. I think he almost kills Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
it gets intense.
This is a lot more peaceful than that.
Oh yeah,
because she just like shows up to the bar. And acts weird.
Yeah.
And Rex, the fake bar owner, is like, oh, I heard this lady has a lot of money. So it's like he's programmed to talk to her.
Right.
And she starts falling in love with him, and everyone around just lets it happen.
No one says anything. They're just like, yeah, okay.
It kind of is mean. Like, she's got, I was worried that she was going to, like, actually fall in love with him, and that, like, they go through this whole scene where, like, they are engaged to be married now. And I was like, oh no, this is where the episode takes a turn. And then it just turns out the next scene is like, no, she's walking down the hallway. She's like, why didn't anybody tell me? Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Well, they hinted at it because Picard, right before they cut to like commercial break, Picard goes, we have something we need to talk about. And then it's like, oh, they came back from commercial break and that's what she's saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they said it's like, you just got catfished.
Yeah.
You know, you got Manti Te'o'd.
But that's the point of the holodeck is shore leave.
Yeah.
Why not let her like, leave
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, just leave her alone.
Yeah.
Let her get this out of her system.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, I mean, if they left her alone, they could have like told her and she could have like done her thing, you know, and had it been fine. But they don't say like what happens when she like initiates her heat.
Right.
Like
maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't want to find out.
Like it is.
Maybe she'll try to marry the holodeck.
Right.
Yeah.
Like she can't control it at that.
Right. Yeah. They don't know where it would lead, so I would have told her, just in case. Just in case there's some...
I would have told her and then been like, but feel free to hang out.
Exactly.
That's what I would have done. Yeah, just
take care of yourself.
Yeah. So while that's going on, back to the Antedeans, Fleetwood Mac and his buddy, whichever one Fleetwood is, they are awake and chowing down on some shrimp.
Yeah.
Big old bucket of shrimp that we saw. And there is this one conversation that happens at some point when, you know, the it's not even a B plot because you barely see these people, where Worf and Crusher are talking about like, oh, you know, they kind of look weird or whatever. And people have been like needling Crusher about like, stop saying the aliens look weird, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the last hangups of humankind.
Right. You can't do that. Like, you're in Starfleet. Yep. You're going to run into aliens. They look different from you. You can't just say things like that, you weirdo.
Needs to be like tolerance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and Worf is looking at Fleetwood.
Right.
And Worf goes, says something like, so dignified.
Right. He thinks they look cool.
Yeah.
And Crusher doesn't understand it. And Worf is like, well, you know, what did you think when you saw me for the first time? And he was like, well, you know, honestly, I thought it was a little strange. But now I see that you're quite handsome for a Klingon.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Which Worf almost punched him in the face for that.
He handled it well, not doing that.
Yes. But Worf, you could tell, was tempted to punch that snivelly little kid right in the nose.
Right. It's like, man, dude, you got to... They're on a diplomatic mission right now.
Watch your space racism.
Yeah.
Space racism.
The Antedeans are awake. Fleetwood Mac heard you say that.
Privileged human.
Yeah.
Idiot.
So, Luxana is now, her mind is like clearer, I guess, because she's not on the manhunt anymore. I don't know how they settled that.
Do you think she had sex with the robot?
Or maybe.
The thing?
Oh, maybe.
Because, like, she leaves the holodeck and she's just like, I wish you would have told me. And that's it. They don't really go into it further.
Oh, maybe she did hook up with
him. So maybe they left her alone.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Good.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, good for her. And, you know.
It's like, better than marrying Riker.
Right. It's better than marrying someone that doesn't. Yeah. And now she's just like, oh, well, whatever. That's over and done with. Now she's thinking clearly. And she goes into the transporter room. They're near Pacifica. They're going to beam people down. And she mentioned something about how she's not going to go down with the Antedeans. And they're like, well, they're the other dignitaries. And she says, no, they're assassins. Just, all, you know, like you do, accuse someone of being an assassin.
Yep.
It's very casual about
right.
it.
I love this scene. It shows you just how quirky she is.
Yeah, and it turns out she says, no, they have this... some kind of explosive that can't be detected under their vestments.
Mm-hmm.
So under that is Fleetwood Mac and a bunch of TNT or something that they couldn't pick it up by their transporter. But she says normally...
it's what's left of Fleetwood Mac's career.
Yeah. Well, this is 1989. I think he was still doing all right, right? When did Rumors come out?
He was on his downfall. I don't know. I thought he sang Cher songs at the beginning of this, so I have no idea.
So... Yeah, she's like, I could see this coming from a mile away. You know, these guys are really easy to read. And they just go to prison.
They're just so chill about it. They're like, yeah, you caught me.
Yeah, you got us.
Yeah, they just did like a shrug at the camera. Right.
Yeah, Worf takes him to the brig. And they also talk, like, very briefly. They're like, this is an outrage! It's yeah. like...
Which surprised me, because when they were going down on that shrimp, they mm-hmm. were just making sounds, and, yep. like, I didn't think that they spoke at all.
Exactly.
Speaking, yeah.
I don't think they should have.
No.
They should have just kept going, like...
Yeah. Fleetwood had to get that speaking line.
Yeah.
It's probably a SAG thing. So...
It was to make Mac jealous.
Yeah. So they got... You know, they get taken to the brig and everything's fine. And Loxana says goodbye to Picard, Riker, and her daughter. As she's dematerializing, she scolds Picard for having gross thoughts about her.
Another great line.
Yeah.
Come on. That was a funny
That was pretty
moment.
Funny.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
And that's it. That was that's the end of that's the Manhunt.
What a fun romp.
Yeah. I had a good time.
It's great. Yeah, it's my first full Star Trek episode.
Oh, thank God we didn't make you watch the last one.
Oh,
you would never come back.
Yeah. I was just so angry the whole time.
So, Serena, this is the part of the episode where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set it to kill. If we thought it was okay, if it comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. Mm-hmm. And if we thought it was a horrible, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. Patrick, do you want to go first? What did you think?
I'm going to say set to stun.
Set to stun?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to prevent great inflation for set to kill.
Ugh,
I've said that multiple times on the show. I'm not going to give everyone set to kill, and I'll tell you why it's set
to
stun.
You don't give nearly enough set to kill.
I did like six or seven in one of the first two seasons. Famously not great seasons. So it was funny. It was legitimately funny.
Yeah.
I'm one of the people that likes Loxana Troi. I know it's a lover or hater. I think she's a fun character. Mm-hmm. I also like Mr. Holm. I think there's a lot of like physical comedy that's actually done well. My only problem was like, what the hell is the deal with the fish people? You're not going to use them.
Yeah.
You know, why have them there? It seemed like a plot line that just got dropped.
Oh, I cannot disagree more, but I'll hold my tongue.
Oh, okay. All right, but that's it. You know, otherwise, it was just... that just kind of seemed like a thing that made it a little longer than it needed to be.
Okay. Serena, what did you think?
But I'm going to say set to kill.
Yeah!
Whoa! Yeah, I didn't want him to do that twice. So
and the reason being is Data, the joy in his face, he's talking about those rocks. I loved
man.
It so much. I mean, I could have done more with the fish people. They just needed more cameos. Like, they didn't even need to say anything. They just needed to be on film for me because I was so delighted by how horrible they looked. But yeah, set to kill. Loxana kind of bothered me a lot.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, because when you think about like a femme fatale character,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, she came off a not confident woman to me. She came off kind of creepy, and like you don't see that. Because if it were a dude doing all the things that she was doing, it would be like danger zone.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's true. Well, it's weird to set up a dinner to someone and not tell them what it is.
That's what it is. Like, her other stuff, like, she comes on really strong. She's, you know, sexually aggressive, okay. But, like, to, like, invite someone to dinner and, like, not tell them what it is, and then they think that other people are coming, and she just shows up in, like, a sexy outfit. If there were a guy and he shows up in like his boxers, I'd be like, cool, peace.
Yeah. Like,
much like Picard reacted.
Yeah.
Let me get Data on the phone here.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. It was brilliant.
I agree with one of you, and that is not Patrick.
Oh, okay.
This is a set to kill episode. All right.
Okay, you just did that, man. Come on. All right, yeah, all right.
We're not unloading a clip on this one, but it's great. I see what you're saying about Loxana Troi. But I think that's kind of the point, is like everything she does is exceptionally over
It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much because she's not a human.
She's like a vaudeville character.
Yeah.
Right.
She doesn't understand human boundaries because she doesn't care about that. You don't know this about them yet. Neither of you do. But when they get married, they're completely in the nude. They have this like passion for life that human beings just don't have. And that's what she's portraying. And she's being honest and true to herself in that scene. Now, her radar does get a bit off, and she's a bit, I don't know, molesty? Would
creepy,
that be the right
yeah.
word?
She's kind of a creep.
She's a predator.
Yeah, she's a predator.
Yeah.
She is. You've
she's
gotta,
on the manhunt.
You've got to mind your P's and Q's when you're around her and keep your mind on task.
Well, she can
don't
read
it. Wander to the things your mind wanders to sometimes.
She can read it.
Yeah.
But this is legit a funny episode. And Star Trek tries to be funny so often.
Yeah,
it
doesn't.
Fails
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is one where you're like, wow, great laugh lines from everybody.
Yeah.
Picard playing the straight guy, Data doing what Data does. Just so many great laugh lines. I cannot imagine not watching this episode as we get deeper and deeper into it. Also knowing Lexiana Troi goes nowhere. She's not going away.
Oh, okay.
She's going to be around quite a bit more, so this establishes her more and more as a character. I would say this is a stronger showing of her than last time we saw her.
I think it was a better one than the last
one. In future episodes, she gets better and better. She is Gene Roddenberry's wife. Gene Roddenberry's a creator and executive producer of Star Trek. You can tell they must have, like, you know, worked her into the show and gave her this kind of dominant type character who, again, I loved.
Yeah. Majel Barrett. Majel is her name.
Barrett. Yeah.
Yeah. She was also in the original series.
She
too.
Was. Yeah. Yeah. She was, I don't remember her name, but she was a medical officer who reported to Bones.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She was blonde.
Oh, not in this one.
No.
Yeah.
She goes kind of blonde gray in Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does she only play, like, strong female characters?
Well, in original series, to say strong female character is a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it was definitely. If you watch, I've only seen a couple episodes, but if you watch it now, it's definitely, it's like, this was made in the 60s.
Yeah, well, for its time, it's like, yeah, hey, they had female characters. Look at that.
Oh, my God, there's women on the screen.
Yeah,
right.
And they have a couple lines, and they're not all about just being. And I know, because I guess Lexiana's, like, sexualized in this, but it's not about, she's not the object. You know, she's not a sexual object.
Which
in
is
this.
Great. That I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Whereas, as we said, it was a manhunt.
Yes.
Manhunt.
Yeah. Picard's the sexual object.
Yeah.
His legs do look great.
His legs look great in the dress uniform.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
he's
that about him.
He's a handsome man in these early seasons. Mm-hmm. I would say in a lot of original series, the women are still objectified much more so than the men, but it's much more sexualized than TNG in general. Mm-hmm. Everybody's showing their midriff and taking off their shirts and punching and kissing.
Yeah,
punching and kissing.
Yeah, a lot of punching and kissing.
A lot of punching and kissing.
Yeah, and the women are
a lot of that
is
Captain.
Punching.
A lot
they
of that
tend
is
to be doing more kissing.
More.
A lot of that is Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's punching.
Right.
They have these phasers that they don't use nearly enough, and they punch each other. That's my hot take on the original series.
Too much punching.
Too much punching. Not enough phasers. You got a gun, use it. Wow. I'm going to get hate mail for that one. Anyway, yeah. I really enjoyed this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun.
Cool.
Maybe it was the company I got to keep. You know? Maybe that's what it was.
Thanks.
That's really sweet.
I'm here every week.
I know, and I missed you so much last week.
Aww.
Well, 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Our schedule's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing, but.
Yeah, I'll be going on vacation. Serena, are you doing anything for the holiday? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to Colorado.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah. Like, in like 2 days.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You going to ski a little bit or?
I'm going to try snow things. I'm I'm really not athletic, but it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Omaha for
you're going to
go ski a week. In Omaha. No. I'll be hanging out with my in-laws.
Oh. That's a form of sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll keep you brain nimble and one step ahead.
Yep. Much like Picard was in Manhunt.
Hopefully you don't have a Lexiana Troi Riker situation.
I'm married, Pat.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
With the in-laws.
Oh, yeah. No, God.
I just got that.
Ew. I gotta go.
Well, it was fun hanging out.
Fine.
Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, man. Give us ratings.
I forgot.
What?
Wait.
What? Hold
we got
we
a rating?
A rating.
Oh, yeah. So if y'all leave us ratings and stuff on iTunes, sometimes we'll read them.
Yeah.
We'll read them on air.
Read them on air.
You'll be famous among a crowd of 200 listeners maybe a month.
That's a little more than that.
Oh, damn. We're big time.
Big time. Okay. I'm going to read it now.
I'm ready. Yeah go
I'm
ahead.
I'm so excited.
Hardcore Trekker recommends Pat Trek.
Whoa.
Yeah. listened to one show and thought it was worth listening to a few more for reviews of my favorite TNG episodes. Did that, then found myself downloading more and more shows, and now, finally all of them.
Whoa.
Forced to acknowledge that I've become a Pat Trek fan.
Forced to
acknowledge.
At gunpoint.
Yeah, that's House of Black. Thank you for that review.
Thank you.
I don't know how we forced you, maybe with our Betazoid abilities.
Yeah. Sooner or later, all will submit.
House of Black, I must frustrate the hell out of you. Considering how many things of Star Trek I half remember.
Yeah, and I don't know anything.
Exactly. So you just believe me, and there's times where I'm sure there's people just shaking their heads.
Yeah, well,
what is he talking about?
Well, I'm sorry. And if you correct me online, I will probably forget it. Because I trust my friend Pat.
I am not an expert, just a fan.
Yeah.
Serena, what about you? Anything you want to talk about?
Oh, gosh. What am I doing? Dungeon Rats.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a thing we do together.
That's a thing we do together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Just listen to it. It's the best. It makes me so happy. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool. Yeah. You can listen to it at thedungeonrats.com or follow us on Twitter at thedungeonrats. And we release a podcast almost every Monday.
Yeah. Almost.
Just about. Yeah. And then you can follow me on Twitter at PatLikesToTweet because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches.